Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 14, The Gospel Goes to the Gentiles. This chapter is based on Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to chapter 11, verse 18. In his ministry at Lydda, Peter healed Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and confined to his bed for 8 years. "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you," the apostle said. "Arise and make your bed." He arose immediately, so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, near Lydda, lived a woman named Dorcas, a worthy disciple of Jesus. She filled her life with acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing and who needed sympathy, and she ministered freely to the poor and sorrowful. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Hearing that Peter was at Lydda, the believers sent messengers to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The apostle's heart was touched with sympathy. Then, directing that the weeping friends leave the room, he knelt down and prayed for God to restore Dorcas to life. Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. God saw fit to bring her back from the land of the enemy, so that her skill and energy could still be a blessing to others. While Peter was still at Joppa, he was called by God to take the gospel to Cornelius in Caesarea. This Roman centurion had been born to a noble family, and he held a position of honor. He had gained a knowledge of God from the Jews, and he worshipped him with a true heart. He was widely known for his good deeds and righteous life. The Bible describes him as a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He worshipped God and prayed in his home, for he did not dare to attempt to carry out his plans or to bear his responsibilities without God's help. Though Cornelius believed the prophecies, he had no knowledge of the gospel as revealed in the life and death of Christ. But the same holy watcher who said about Abraham, "I know him," knew Cornelius, and sent a message direct from heaven to him. The angel appeared to him while he was praying. As the centurion heard himself addressed by name, he said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." The angel even gave the occupation of the man with whom Peter was staying. Heaven knows all about the history and business of human beings, with the experience and work of the humble laborer, as well as with that of the king on his throne. Frail, tempted humans are the messengers. The angel was not instructed to tell Cornelius the story of the cross. A man subject to human weaknesses and temptations was to tell him of the crucified and risen Savior. God does not choose angels as his representatives, but human beings, people of like passions with those they are trying to save. Christ took humanity so that he could reach humanity. We needed the divine human Savior to bring salvation to the world, and to men and women God has committed the sacred trust of making known the unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. The Lord brings those who are seeking for truth into contact with fellow beings who know the truth. Those who have received light are to share it with those in darkness. God has made humanity the working agency through which the gospel exercises its transforming power. Cornelius gladly obeyed. When the angel had gone, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. After speaking with Cornelius, the angel went to Peter. At the time he was praying on the roof of the house where he was staying, and became very hungry, and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. It was not just for physical food that Peter was hungry. He hungered for the salvation of his fellow Jews. He had an intense desire to show them the prophecies relating to Christ. In the vision, Peter saw a great sheet. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. This vision revealed to Peter God's plan that the Gentiles should be heirs to the blessings of salvation along with the Jews. None of the disciples had yet preached the gospel to Gentiles. In their minds, the Gentiles were excluded from the blessings of the gospel. Now the Lord was trying to teach Peter the worldwide extent of God's plan. Many Gentiles had listened to the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, and many Greek Jews had become believers in Christ. Cornelius, however, was to be the first important convert among the Gentiles. The door that many Jewish converts had closed against Gentiles was now to be thrown open. Gentiles who accepted the gospel were to be equal with Jewish disciples, without needing circumcision. How carefully the Lord worked to overcome the prejudice in Peter's mind! By the vision, he intended to teach that in heaven there are no racial distinctions. Through Christ, the heathen may receive the privileges of the gospel. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the men Cornelius had sent arrived and stood in front of the home where he was staying. Then the Spirit said to him, "Three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." New Revised Standard Version. Peter finds this a difficult command. Peter was reluctant to carry out the duty given him, but he dared not disobey. He went down and said, "I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" They told him, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." In obedience to God, on the following morning the apostle set out, accompanied by six other Christians. These would be witnesses to everything that he would say or do, for Peter knew that he would have to answer for such a direct violation of Jewish teachings. As Peter entered the Gentile's house, Cornelius greeted him as someone that heaven honored. Overwhelmed with reverence for the one God had sent to teach him, he fell at the apostle's feet and worshipped him. Peter was horror-stricken and lifted the centurion up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." To the large company of Cornelius's relatives and close friends, Peter said, "You know how unlawful a thing it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came, as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me?" Cornelius then told his experience, saying in conclusion, "We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Peter said, "I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Then the apostle preached Christ to that group of attentive hearers. As Peter pointed to Jesus as the sinner's only hope, he himself understood more fully the vision he had seen, and his heart glowed with the spirit of the truth he was presenting. Suddenly, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. This is how the gospel came to those who had been strangers and foreigners, making them members of the household of God. From the household of Cornelius, a widespread work of grace went forward in that heathen city. Today there are many like Cornelius whom the Lord wants to connect with his work. Their sympathies are with the Lord's people, but ties binding them to the world hold them firmly. We should make special efforts for these people. God calls for earnest, humble workers who will take the gospel to the higher classes. The greatest people of this earth are not beyond the power of a wonder-working God. If workers will do their duty, God will convert people who occupy responsible positions, people of intellect and influence. Converted, they will have a special burden for other members of this neglected class. they will consecrate time and money to the work, and new efficiency and power will be added to the church. Many in the world are nearer the kingdom than we suppose. Everywhere are people who will take their stand for Christ. Urged by love, they will urge others to come to Him. Peter places the matter before his associates. When the believers in Judea heard that Peter had preached to the Gentiles, they were surprised and offended. The next time they saw Peter, they strongly condemned him. "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter related his experience, the vision, the command to go to the Gentiles, the coming of the messengers, his journey to Caesarea, and the meeting with Cornelius. He told about talking with the centurion, who had told him of the vision by which God had directed him to send for Peter. "As I began to speak," he said, "the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" The brethren were silenced, convinced that their prejudice and exclusiveness were completely contrary to the gospel. They said, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." In this way, prejudice was broken down, exclusiveness abandoned, and the way opened for the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles.